All right, this is Learning to Flow in the Supernatural. I'm going to share with you some things the Lord's spoken to me the last few days. I would have never dreamed this up. These words are not my words. You know, the Lord has a way, because I've been asking him, I said, okay, Lord, Danny had a word about the apostle, and he said, I'm not going to share any more with you for right now. And that's been nearly a year ago. And I said, Lord, can you share with me a little more? And this is what he gave me. So I'm not going to give you the whole word because there's a little bit of personal stuff in it, but I will share what I can. The title of this is Home Groups. The body of Christ, the church, is a team. Just like a body works together in its individual part of the greater good of the whole body. We're members. You know, we've got all kinds of members in our body that work together for the good of the body, right? Well, Paul gave this analogy for the church. Okay, we're going to look at that. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Starting with verse 1 there. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away unto dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. These are talking about the gifts of the Spirit here. To another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another the working of miracles. I'm not sure if you know, but word of wisdom are facts that are in the mind of God about the future. Word of knowledge is present or past things in the mind of God that nobody knows but God. And it'll come forth in a word. A lot of times prophecy will have a mixture of word of wisdom and word of knowledge in it, as well as prophecy and speaking in tongues. You know, sometimes it'll be a message in tongues with interpretation equals prophecy. Okay. Another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits, which is not discerning a busybody. Not sticking your nose in somebody's business. This is looking into the spirit realm. Say you have a vision or say you see an angel. That's discerning of spirits. You have been able to look into the other dimension. I got the gift of discernment. And the biggest, longest tongue in the congregation. You know what I'm saying? No. And no such gift as the gift of discernment. We all have discernment. All right. To another, divers kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. These are not our gifts. These are the Holy Ghost gifts that he gives. He lets you use it. Or he uses you. It's his gifts. Well, I have the gift of prophecy. Well, there is a gift of prophecy, I do believe. Because it kind of talks about Philip had four daughters that prophesied. It doesn't say they were prophetesses, but they had the spirit of prophecy on them. But there are, in the gifts of the Spirit, these are not our gifts. These are the Holy Ghost gifts. And there's other people that teach that there's all kinds of different gifts that weren't added to this. It should have been added. Now, I'm not going to go there. You know, what difference does it make? Just as long as it flows, you know. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have all been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. If they were all one member, where are the body? But now are they many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondary prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles, have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But cover earnestly the best gifts, and yet I show unto you a more excellent way. What's the best gift? Well, when you need to see something, it's the eye, right? Or when you need to hear something, it's the ear, right? So it's the same way in the body of Christ. Well, I have this gift, operating this gift. It's the best gift. No, it's whatever's needed at the time. Whatever the Holy Spirit wills needed, it's needed at the time, is the best gift. And now you can see why some people put together that these also are in the gifts of the Spirit here. The governments, the helps, apostles, prophets, all of that. I never put that together. When I first heard it, I thought, say what? Anyway, I don't really hold to that, you know. But anyway, it doesn't matter. They're all from the Holy Spirit. They're all gifts of the Holy Spirit given to the body of Christ. Some are offices. Some are gifts that flow when the Holy Spirit wills, that kind of thing. All right. It would be easy to blame the pastors, and many do, about the mess we're in. But we all have a part in it. The church is out of order. It has allowed the devil to come in and infiltrate the church. Now is the time for us to arise and put Satan where he belongs, under our feet. Time to cut off his head. That's his authority over us as a church. Christ Jesus is the head of the church, not Satan. I believe when we return to the proper order, then the blessings can again begin to flow into the body of Christ as a whole, and all the grace gifts that have been given can be in full manifestation when we get in order. Now you can lay to rest why the church lost its power. No pointing of fingers, lest, you know, let's just say, sorry, Lord, we all missed it. Just repent, submit to the Lord, and move forward. That's all we can do. We've awakened to the fact, yes, this is what happened. When you take the apostle and prophet out of the equation, you have a nursery worker. That's what a shepherd is. It's like you're tending little ones. And I don't mean that as any disgrace. That's what a pastor does. Feed, fold, tend the flock. We're going to see more of that. Now I want to look at a few scriptures here. Ephesians 2. They are not equipped to do what the apostle and prophet do. It's a matter of not being in proper order. It's not disparaging any gift, because they all have their proper place and they all have their function. Hope y'all see that. It's not about having a top banana and one lower on the rung. That's not what it's about. Ephesians 2:14. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were far off and to them that were nigh. In other words, the Jews and the Gentiles. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. The Jew's going to get where he needs to be through the Father, just like we do. If they think they're going to do sacrifices and all that brouhaha that they did in the old covenant, it's going to get them there. It ain't going to do it. Now, therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints in the household of God, and they're built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. There's a song that I have that the Lord gave me years ago about He inhabits the praises of His people, but it's about building yourself a throne for Him to sit upon. Isn't that what the church is supposed to be? We're a habitation of the Lord. Okay, keep going. Chapter 3. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given me to you ward, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. How can you grow up the church? How can you show them the way? They don't even know. It's imparted by the apostles and prophets. Not by the pastors, not by the teachers, not even by the evangelist. They all have their part. All right. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. When the apostles and the prophets were taken off the scene, the church just shot themselves in the foot. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Jesus Christ our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulation for you, which is your glory. He's talking about the power in the church here. All right, chapter 4. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love. The Holy Spirit just said to me, there are apostles working behind the scenes because they've not been received in the church, like us. They've not been received in the traditional church. And there'll be a time soon when the old guard dies off, the new guard will arise. Endeavoring. Why? Because we are facing the same thing in the church that we're facing in the nation. Everything has to be stripped clean, and we have to relearn the Constitution. We have to relearn what really happened in our history, because we've been lied to our whole life. Been lied to in the church. The foundation's no good. The foundation is being shaken, and what will remain, but what can't be kept, it's gone. God is cleaning out that's in the church and that's in the nation. How are we going to find out this knowledge? Prophets, apostles, and prophets imparted to you by the Spirit. All right. endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There's one body and one Spirit, even as you're called, and one hope of your calling, one faith, one, not 10 or 15 million denominations that say something different. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. Don't you think he's saying the same thing? In Jesus' revelation, he told John, as he was telling John about the churches, let them hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. But unto every one of us is given a grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, gave gifts unto men. This is not a competition. My church is bigger than your church. They gauge everything by how many you're running. How popular are you? What good is that if you've been a total failure? You've just become a corporation. Now that he ascended, what is he, but that he also descended first to the lower parts of the earth? Kick the devil's rear end. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors, and teachers. For what? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of the faith, and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, to this measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. For whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working and the measure of every part, maketh the increase of the body unto its edifying of itself in love. This is what Tommy Hicks was talking about. What he saw. He saw that big giant, that big conglomerate called the corporate church. So filled with demons and so cumbered, they were powerless. But God started shaking that big giant and things started falling off of it. And finally, it melted into the earth and became multitudes of people with liquid fire going about and taking the gospel and doing what they're supposed to do. Finally being what the church is supposed to be, a city on a hill. A couple weeks ago, I had someone call me and we were talking about stuff. And I said to her, I was talking to her about the old guard dying off and God raising up the new guard. I said, that's what the Lord's done for us. That's what we've been doing behind the scenes all these years. And they've been in the mainstream, pastored and stuff. And I just told her, I said, the church can't even blow fuzz off a peanut. She said, yeah, the church has become very weak. You know, I can't say too much. You know, they don't know too much, so I can't say too much. But the point is, I hope they're in. I hope they make it in. I hate to say those kind of words because I do believe some of them will still live. They'll just live out their lives and just go to the reward, I guess. But it's like, sometimes I think, even if I can get an eyedropper down the throat of one of these ministers, just one eyedropper full, maybe just enough. She asked me about the rapture. I said, nope, don't teach it. I said, that is not substantiated in Scripture. And I talked to her about one taking the other less, not the rapture. And she was curious about it. Well, what about the marriage supper of the Lamb? I said, well, it's whenever, you know, you call the birds to eat the flesh of kings. She said, you mean the Battle of Armageddon? I said, absolutely. So I thought, maybe I gave her a little treat to chew on, you know? I'm thinking anything to try to get people's eyes open to the truth and come out of this horrible state that we've been in for so long. You know why you always hated to go to church? Enough said. Enough said. All right. Brother Hagin, he, Lord told him to get out of the churches. Smart move, McCain. I mean, really. After the day of Pentecost, we began to see how home groups formed. I believe this is what the Lord has shown me as his divine order for the church today. I'll bring more on that as I come to the word later in this teaching. But I want to, Lord gave me, kind of started showing me this, and I had never considered it this way. Many houses within Father's house. All right, we're going to go to John 14. If you go and look at how many times house, God's house, Father's house is in Scripture, bunches.
What chapter?
14. I mean, Jesus ran the money changers out of his Father's house. He said, my Father's house should be called a house of prayer. All right, John 14, 1. It says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Now, a lot of people would think, well, this is talking about heaven here, but I don't know if it is or not. House here means residence or abode. Who is the temple of the Holy Ghost now? The body of Christ. Just food for thought. I think it's metaphorically speaking here. Jesus was going to prepare a place for us. What was that place? The place in Father's house. How did he do it? Went to the cross. Brought us salvation so we could be saved. All right. We've heard all our lives that the church building is called God's house. Why are there mansions there? Because this is the way the kingdom of God is. There's no shacks, no welfare programs. If you go just read in some of the major prophets, they talk about the 1,000-year millennial reign and how it's going to be. Nothing that harms or hurts. Wipe all tears from their eyes. The lion will lay down with the lamb. A child could play with a snake. They live long lifespans. Why? God's order. God's order brings life, and that abundantly. All right. Psalms 133 is the goal. Just think about it. I'm not saying I understand it totally, but whenever that started coming yesterday, I thought, okay, I hadn't really ever thought about it that way. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garments, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. See, in the millennial, he'll be in his holy mountain, it says. And what's in the mountain flows down. That's the way the anointing is. That's God's divine order. And when his divine order is in place, his ways prevail. All we've known is Satan's ways, for the most part. Because Satan infiltrated all seven mountains of culture, even the church. Use the Freemasons to get pastors in the forefront and all the others out. That's why they used to have Masonic meetings in the basements of churches. That's why they had, when I first started doing these digs or going in rabbit holes and stuff, one of the first things I came across was a list of pastors that were recruited by FEMA that when the New World Order got ready to put us all in the camps and blow up everything and do everything, and they go underground and live high on the hog. The pastors were going to lead their sheep to the slaughter. That's fact. That's not something I made up. That's fact. In fact, I have that information somewhere in my files. Now, they weren't any pastors that I knew about. I didn't know their names. But think about that. They were under the thumb of the deep state through the corporation, the 501c3, under the crown. What's the crown's agenda? Kill all of us. Take everything we have. Feed on our children. We're talking about the spawn of Satan here. That's what got in the church. That's what's the head of the church. That's what Jesus said to John. I see where Satan's seat is in this particular church. They allow that woman Jezebel. What do you think started the feminists and all this crud over here? I remember Mike Thompson talking about he saw this dragon-looking creature dive off into the ocean and swim from England to the U.S. and come up on the shore. There's that thing that we see today. All right. House is intimate, a dwelling. God dwells in our spirits through the new birth. Are we the dwelling of God? He dwells in us and we dwell in Him. All right, we're going to look at a few more scriptures. These are New Testament scriptures. Romans chapter 8. I'm telling you guys, I can't make this stuff up. I can't make this stuff up. This stuff never entered my mind. It comes through my spirit. The Lord's given us a step at a time. Romans 8, 9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by a Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh, for if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. I see the homegrown concept right here reflected in God's relationship with us, an intimacy. More one-on-one where no one falls through the cracks. It's easier to keep 10 or 20 flowing together than hundreds or thousands. I'll bring this up later, but there's a lot of the Hillsong, different ones that have been dethroned because of sexual misconduct and different things been going on for several years. All kinds of big church leaders. Yeah, Hillsong. Yeah. That's not new news. That's real old news. Lots of mega pastors. Huh. Well, first place, they're out of place. No accountability. And like C. Peter Wagner, he said, pastors are the most susceptible because they're with the sheep more so than the others. The one-on-one. Yeah. All right, 2 Corinthians 6. Megas, mega pastors. I saw a short video yesterday of four mega pastors that just stepped down. I didn't know any of them. One of them was something Zacharias, her daughter. Three of them were sexual misconduct. The other one was just, he was crude. You know, they don't like the millennial talk. They're going to have to probably pastor millennials because they might drop an F-bomb in there somewhere. And so it was real offensive to the older ministers in the body of Christ. So they, you know, anyway, he finally did step down. But out of three of them, the three older men, the three older ministers were the ones that were in sexual misconduct. All right. 2 Corinthians 6:16. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. If you invite someone to stay in your home, it's very personal and intimate. If you put them up in a hotel, well, not so much. All right, Ephesians 3. I already read that to you. We'll read it again. If I put it again, it must be really worth listening to. Let's see. 3:14. Yeah. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall partition between us.
That's two.
Oh, sorry. Maybe I... Okay. But did I read 3 to y'all? No, I didn't. For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. It can't get any more intimate than in you. Christ in you. I hope you're seeing what I'm seeing concerning this. If we were operating like this first, there would have been no government control, and the scamdemic would not have affected any of us. We'd have been under the radar. No, they entrapped us in the 501c3 part of it, government control corporation. Yeah. Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Do you see how Satan has infiltrated the church? Absolutely and totally, every nook and cranny. All right, let's keep going. 1 John 4. Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. Yeah. He has given us of his Spirit. All right, let's keep going here. Acts chapter 1. This is starting with verse 12 here. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room, where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, Simon Zelotes, Judas the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with the brethren. Right here, the room here says a higher part of the house, an apartment in the third story. Upper room, that sign, upper room. House. It was a house. I can remember many occasions when we lived in our little house on Richardson, and you know, we had a cul-de-sac right there, and people would turn that cul-de-sac and go back out. I even had one lady, I think she was with Quad K. I don't know if she was the manager or what out there. And she said, Lord told me to come to your fellowship. Well, I figured she saw it was a house and decided, no, they don't have anything for my kids. They don't have the Well, it's a small group for a reason. You know, there's a lot of people that disobeyed the Lord. And, you know, people don't understand. God doesn't just pull things out of the air and do things. It's when you get lined up with His ways that His ways will overtake you. People don't get that. They think it's just pie in the sky. They don't understand why God won't do nothing for me. It's because you won't get your sorry self in line with God's ways. It's like you're on AM, He's on FM. I'm telling you, this is the way the church thinks. Absolutely, even the Spirit-filled faith talking believers. I mean, it's just, I'm going, duh. It's two kingdoms, two masters. One operates one way, another one operates another way. If you're going God's way and walking in His ways, it'll run you down and overtake you. If you're going the way of the world and the way that the corporation church took you, it's going to be a hit and miss situation. I feel real bad for you, but I've been proclaiming it since 1994 for all that could hear, radio, home churches, TV. So don't come at me when you don't get what you want. I said, Lord, what else can I do? I've tried to talk to them on the phone and they turn a deaf ear and a blind eye. Make fun of me. What am I supposed to do? Well, they did it to Jesus too. They did it to anybody who was bringing the truth. I mean, there's truthers out there on every frequency proclaiming the truth. And there's people in their cars with a mask on driving down the road with the windows up. But ignorance gone to seed. Well, all right, room here. A higher part of the house, an apartment in the third story. Oh, I guess a house church is just too humble. Kind of like a king being born in a manger. You think? No, we want to go to this big mega church with all these thousands and thousands of people. And the little girl's being raped in the bathroom. That's happened. We know somebody it happened to. He caught the guy and nearly killed him before they got him off the little girl. The church wouldn't let him call the police, and his wife divorced him because he did not defend their little girl enough. That's the truth. And now that little girl's married to a woman. He might not have penetrated her, but that demon got in that little girl. And I met her as a teenage girl. Sweet. Loved the Lord. Went to college and come out one of these, whatever you want to call them. I don't know what you call them. Trance freaks. I'll tell you later who it is. Okay. All right. They must think it's just humble beginnings. That couldn't mean anything, a humble beginning. You're in a house church? Well, I guess if you ain't got nothing, you ain't nothing going on, you can come out here. You ain't got nothing there. If you got two people in there, you ain't doing nothing. I heard that myself. I heard a pastor say that on TV. If you got two or three people meeting in your house, you ain't got nothing. Really? Well, there's a king being born in a manger. That ain't nothing. You ain't nothing. I care more about following the Lord. When I said, Lord, if I have to do this for 100 years with just us, I want to do what you want me to do. I want to hear you say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. I don't care. All the preachers all across the town that think I'm a fool, let them think whatever they want. If I please you, that's all I care about. They can go right straight to the pit for all I care. I do care, but you know what I'm saying. If this angers me, what do you think it does the Lord? Saddens him, sickens him. Danny had a word of prophecy last fall, I believe. It's in the Lord said he would rather have 3 warriors than 5,000 losers. This is what me and this lady were talking about. That in the church, you know, they've been taught to call every prayer line across the nation to get answers to their prayer. I said, they know nothing about being a warrior. They know nothing about pulling down strongholds, standing with their armor on and getting answers. Going to their Father in secret where He rewards them openly. I said, they know nothing about this. And I said, I know what I'm talking about. I said, people text me all the time, want me to pray. I said, I at least try to get them on the same page. Okay, what do you want me to pray? Let's at least say the same thing. She couldn't do anything but agree. She will not agree with much else that I have to say. But she did agree with that. She said, yeah, the church has become weak. All right, God laid it all out for the apostles and it worked. How did we stray? The church of the day doesn't look anything like it should. It's more like a country club and its members are powerless for the most part. And they need some one-on-one, but the pastor is carrying a load he is never supposed to carry. When I first began to go down the rabbit hole of the real truth, okay, that was about the FEMA camps. All right, let me go ahead and read it. First, I began to go down the rabbit hole of the real truth. I came across documents of pastors recruited by FEMA to lead their sheep to the slaughter. They were recruited to report to FEMA. And when the time came, they would encourage their people to go into the camps. You know, like Walmart, Lowe's, Home Depot, Sam's. You know, the big box stores that ran all of our local businesses out? Our own pastors. Not all, I'm sure, are in league with the Nazi world order. Maybe they're on the take. I don't know. All right, we're going to look at a few scriptures in Acts about home groups, home churches. This is going to be longer than usual, so that's why I just have this one. All right, Acts 2:2. Or yet 2:1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. So God visited them in a house. All right, 2:46. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. All right, Acts 5:42. I just touched on a few of them. There's a bunch. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. All right, Acts 8:3. For Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and haling men and women, committed them to prison. So he had to go from house to house, drag them out of the house. Acts 10. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian Band, a devout man and one that feared God with all his house. which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. When he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? He said unto him, Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodgeth with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He is preaching in that house. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. And when the angel which spake with Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. And when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. On the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. He became very hungry and would have eaten, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance, and saw heaven open, and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners, and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air. There came a voice to him, Rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is uncommon or unclean. And the voice spake unto him again the second time, What God hath cleansed, call not thou common. This was done thrice, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. Now while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate, and called and asked whether Simon, who was surnamed Peter, were lodged there. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, Behold, three men seek thee. Arise therefore and get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. This is the beginning of the church here, y'all. Not the church in Jerusalem, but the Gentiles. Then Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius and said, Behold, I am he whom ye seek. What is the cause wherefore ye are come? And they said, Cornelius, a centurion, a just man, and one that feareth God, and of good report among all the nation of the Jews, was warned from God by holy angel to send for thee into his house, and to hear words of thee. Then called he them in, and lodged them. And on the morrow Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. And the morrow, after they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them, and he called together his kinsmen and near friends, and as Peter coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter took him up, saying, Stand up, I myself also am a man. And as he talked with him, he went in and found many that were come together, and he said unto them, You know how that it is unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company, or come into one of another nation, but God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. That ain't all, Peter. You can have ham now. And shrimp cocktail. Therefore came I unto you without gainsaying. As soon as I was sent for, I asked therefore what intent ye have sent for me. Bacon. He had bacon. And Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, at the ninth hour, I prayed in my house. And behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing, and said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thine alms had a remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa, and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of one Simon, a tanner by the seaside, who when he cometh, he shall speak unto thee. Immediately therefore I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now therefore we are all here, present before God, to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth God and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word I say ye now, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. For God was with him. Jesus met in many houses. Go look. Just go read the Gospels. And we are witnesses of all things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hang on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witness chosen before God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which he was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word, and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. They heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that they should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. So the Spirit was given in a house. Now the beginning of the church of the Gentiles in a house. Yeah. God likes intimacy. All right, Lex, let's keep going. Chapter 11, I have just a few verses. 11. And behold, immediately there were three men already come into the house where I was, sent from Caesarea unto me. And the Spirit made me go with them, nothing doubting. Moreover, these six brethren accompanied me, and we entered into the man's house. And he showed us how he had seen an angel in his house, which stood and said unto him, send men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who shall tell thee words whereby thou and thy house shall be saved. As I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning. Then I remembered the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. All right, Acts 12, 1. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex the church, keep certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword. Because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter. Then with the days of unleavened bread. Let me just say something here. It kind of quickened to me. They still had the temple in Jerusalem. I doubt that they got to take over the temple. Don't you? Wouldn't surprise me if their headquarters weren't probably in their homes. Who knows? I mean, they still had the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all that old guard in the temple. When he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth that the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers, being for the door, kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. He smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly, and his chains fell off of his hands. And the angel said unto him, gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he saith unto him, cast thy garment about thee and follow me. And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. When they were past the first and second ward, they came into the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, now I know of a surety that the God hath sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. When he considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness and ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, thou art mad. But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, it is his angel. I guess they must be sending angels like we've been sending angels. Go tell that guy to get out here and finish this gate. And you tell them I said do it today. And then they show up. That's what I believe. Let's get her done. No more of this delay. Their praying sent the angel to deliver Peter out of the prison. But Peter continued knocking, and when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. And he beckoning unto them with the hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, go show these things unto James and to the brethren. He departed and went to another place. You know, we can really get religious ideas, but when you get down to the nitty-gritty, these were just ordinary men, uneducated men. So they were said, you could tell, though, they'd been with Jesus. Just ordinary people getting together at their house and praying and meeting. All right, 19:11. This is the office of apostle here. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, the evil spirits went out of them. And certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preaches. And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, and a chief of the princes which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye? And the man in whom the evil spirits were us leaped on them, overcame them, and prevailed against them, since they fled out of the house naked and wounded. I'll tell you what, we may have humble surroundings, humble beginnings, but I'll tell you what, we know how to get ready for them demons. We know how to stand and do what we need to do and get her done. Now, those in that big old church house down the street probably ain't got a clue. I probably couldn't find one person in that whole congregation that knows how to use their own weapons to get the devil off of them. That's sad. That's sad. In fact, what's sad is the pastor don't know either. Yeah. All right. Let me look here. All right. Acts 20:7. Upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. There were many lights in the upper chamber where they were gathered together. And there sat in a window a certain young man named Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep. And as Paul was long preaching, he sunk down with sleep and fell down from the third loft and was taken up dead. And Paul went down and fell on him, and embracing him, said, trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him. When he therefore was come up again, and had broken bread, and eaten, and talked a while, even till daybreak, the break of day, so he departed. And they brought the young man alive, and were not a little comforted. See, they're probably in somebody's house, in the upper chamber. They talked all night long. This youth probably won't fall asleep in church again, will he? Yeah. All right. Acts 21. And it came to pass that after we were gotten from them and had launched, we came with a straight course unto Cos, and the day following unto Rhodes, from whence unto Patara. And finding a ship sailing over into Phoenicia, we went aboard and set forth. That when we had discovered Cyprus, we left it on the left hand and sailed into Syria and landed at Tyre. For there the ship was to unlade her burden. And finding disciples, we tarried there 7 days, who said to Paul through the Spirit that he should not go up to Jerusalem. When he had accomplished those days, we departed and went our way. And they all brought us on our way with wives and children until we were out of the city, and we kneeled down on the shore and prayed. And when he had taken our leave one of another, we took ship, and they returned home again. And when we had finished our course from Tyre, we came to Ptolemais and saluted the brethren, abode with them 1 day. And the next day, we that were of Paul's company departed and came into Caesarea, and we entered into the house of Philip the evangelist, which was one of the seven, abode with him. The same man had 4 daughters, virgins, which did prophesy. And as we tarried, there were many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. When he was come unto us, he took Paul's girdle and bound his own hands and feet, and said, thus saith the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle, and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. When we heard these things, both we and they of that place besought him not to go up to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, What mean ye to weep and to break mine heart? For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. And he would not be persuaded. He ceased saying, The will of the Lord be done. And after those days, we took up our carriages and went to Jerusalem. There went with us also certain of the disciples of Caesarea, and brought with them one man, son of Cyprus, an old disciple with whom we should lodge. And when we were come to Jerusalem, the brethren received us gladly. And the day following, Paul went in with us unto James, and all the elders were present. And when he had saluted them, he declared particularly that what things God had wrought among the Gentiles by his ministry. When they heard it, they glorified the Lord and said unto him, Thou seest, brother, how many thousands of Jews there are which believe, and they are all zealous of the law. And they are informed of thee that thou preachest all the Jews which are among the Gentiles to forsake Moses, saying that they ought not to circumcise their children, neither to walk after the customs. What is it therefore? The multitude must needs come together, for they will hear that thou art come. Do therefore this that we say to thee, we have four men which have a vow on them. I'm not sure why I put this chapter in here, but I know this. Paul had to take care of, they were trying to push circumcision on the Gentile believers. And so this is what, he had to make a decision. That's what happened in the church in Jerusalem. I don't know that they had church buildings. I believe they probably just met in a house. But James was the residing apostle over this, and he's the one that made the decree that we're not going to put that burden on the Gentiles, and gave them instructions. All right, let's keep going. Got a lot of scriptures. All right, how did it change? Religious spirits, I suppose. Talking about church and divine order. Varying from God's divine order, becoming institutionalized, and began to make religious institutions, certainly not intimate like a shepherd with a flock should be. We are a team all working together in their proper place to make up a holy habitation of the Lord. Here's what apostleship means. It means a commission, specifically apostolate. Apostle here means a delegate, a special ambassador of the gospel, officially a commissioner of Christ with miraculous power. And we saw that when I read to you there. Prophet, a foreteller, an inspired preacher, a poet. All right, I want to look at a few scriptures on that. We've seen a lot about apostle, but we haven't seen a whole bunch about prophet or the other gifts. So, all right, Acts 11:27, just a couple of verses there. And in these days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch, and there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be great dearth throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Okay, then 13, verse 1 says, Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manon, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, this is through the prophet, said, Separate me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereto I call them. When they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. And so they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. So we see the prophet operating here. All right, Acts 21, where I was reading before, verse 8 specifically. This is where I told you that Philip the evangelist, right here, they went into his house and saw his four daughters who did prophesy. All right, and then Acts 8, well, let me just say this. Remember some other teachings, apostle is to put things in order, and the prophet provides the vision, and the apostle implements the vision. You know, all the other teachings, I brought that up several times. Okay, the next one is evangelist. An evangelist is a preacher of the gospel, probably the only gift that probably is more outside the church than they are inside the church. And I'll tell you why. This is Acts chapter 8. And I assume it's the same Philip. 8:4. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies and that were blind were healed. And there was great joy in the city. Now there's many, or there were, a lot of them are old guard or already passed away, like the Osbournes, you know, is it T.L. Osborne, that when they would go like missionaries overseas and preach, they would see these kind of miracles transpire. I think it was to show how powerful God was over their heathen gods that they, you know, they were worshiping. All right, then verse 26, and the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. He arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. And the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I accept some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he should come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this: he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before a shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began to the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came into a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, but Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. So we see a supernatural transferring from one city to another. He didn't need an airplane, did he? $60 million airplane or whatever. He didn't need that. Spirit caught him up. This is a field ministry, the evangelist, not like the others. The apostle visits the churches, but the evangelist carries the gospel to the nations. Today, some call them missionaries. Not sure if that is accurate or not, if you'd really call it that. Pastor is a shepherd. Not everything, all things to all men, a shepherd. Small intimate groups like the Lord has had us do for the past nearly 8 years, really since 94, it has grown up so we can be an asset to the body of Christ. It's growing people up. How have you grown up under this? We ain't even the same people we used to be. A teacher is an instructor. In my personal opinion, the other four are also teachers. I don't think you can be, and some even say there's only four, because I believe they all are teachers. They're all to be apt to teach. Even the deacons and the elders are said they should be apt to teach. All right. Now I will share with you the word the Lord spoke to me a few days ago. Let me get me a drink first. This making sense? Yeah. Well, if it's not making natural sense, it'll make spiritual sense to you later. All right. Apostles trained pastors. The epistles were thought to be pastoral, but they are apostolic. Apostle Paul laid down guidelines for the churches. James was the head apostle in Jerusalem, a headquarters, our home base. The Apostle Paul laid down doctrine so that the churches would all be on board with my ways. It was instructions from the Lord. All saying and doing the same thing, no divisions. Now that you have been renewed in your mind from the doctrines of men, you're now in a position to train others, pastors. The home group concept has been unrealized in its implementation. Here are the churches, home group leaders, the pastors. Just look at the book of Acts and the epistles and you begin to see this. Paul would go into another Gentile nation. They might meet on the side of the river in somebody's house, and before you know it, he had set up a pastor over them and move on. All right. The one-on-one small intimate group can be handled easily by the pastor. The pastors are accountable to the apostle over them. It is not a dictatorship, but an overseership. The apostle is ready to advise when needed and to keep my order, like sexual misconduct, for instance. Pastors, for the most part, have failed because they are overwhelmed and have no accountability. C. Peter Wagner stated that the pastors have a large percentage of sexual misconduct. They interact with the people more than the other fivefold ministers. Thus, the need for accountability and help when put in compromising positions. Pastors are not graced for the responsibility that the apostle and the prophet carried. They're not in that place to be able to do it. They can't do it. Think shepherd and sheep. Sheep know the shepherd's voice. They abide with the sheep, feed the sheep, tend the sheep up close and personal. Satan has infiltrated the church and demonized the office of the apostles through the shepherding movement, putting the pastor as the first in the ministry order instead of the apostle. Satan knows that it's the apostles that spiritual mouth and take out their demonic strongholds in a greater measure. It is time to reinstate my apostles back into their rightful positions throughout the church. Pastors tend and feed and protect the flock. Apostles lay down foundation and doctrine for the pastors to follow for the success of their fellowships. A unity where the anointing can flow from the top of the head all the way to the hem of the garment. James was a deciding apostle where there was a problem over the circumcision in the early church. And we're going to read that. That's Acts chapter 15. See, they were a body. They were a team. They weren't independent whatevers all over the place that's doing their little bit of something but not really affecting anything. And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved. When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and elders about this question. And being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phinehas and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy unto all the brethren. When they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and of the apostles and elders, and they declared all things that God had done with them. But there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees, which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. And the apostles and elders came together for to consider of this matter. And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, Men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago God made the choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believed. And God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did us. Probably they weren't circumcised. But they got the Holy Ghost as well as them, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now, it's a circumcision of heart, not in the flesh. Now, therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our forefathers nor we are able to bear? But we believe that through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ we shall be saved even as they. Then all the multitude kept silence and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles by them. And after they had held their peace, James answering, saying, Men and brethren, hearken unto me. Simon hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. And to this agree the words of the prophets as it is written. After this I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David which is fallen down. I will build again the ruins thereof and I will set it up. that the residue of men might seek after the Lord, and in the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doth all these things. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. Wherefore my sentence is that we trouble not them which from among the Gentiles are turned to God, but that we write unto them that they abstain from pollutions of idols and from fornication and from things strangled and from blood. For Moses of old hath in every city them that preach him being read in the synagogues every Sabbath day. Then it pleased the apostles and elders with the whole church to send men chosen of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, named Barnabas, and Silas, chief men among the brethren. And they wrote letters by them. These are those epistles that you read. Sent letters. These things they wrote in letters. It was in some, these letters are probably stuffed in somebody's desk at some point. They pulled them out and put them in a book. And they wrote letters by them after this manner. The apostles and elders and brethren send greetings unto the brethren which are of the Gentiles at Antioch and Syria and Cilicia, forasmuch as we have heard that certain which went out from us have troubled you with words, subverting your souls, saying, ye must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment. It seemed good unto us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men that have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have sent therefore Judas and Silas, who shall also tell you the same things by mouth. For it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things, that ye abstain from meats offered to idols and from blood and from things strangled and from fornication, from which if you keep yourselves you shall do well. Fare ye well. And so when they dismissed, they came to Antioch and went. And when they had gathered the multitude together to deliver the epistle, which when they read, they rejoiced for the consolation. And Judas and Silas, being prophets also themselves, exhorted their brethren with many words and confirmed them. This is something you can follow. The whole church, all saying the same thing. The top of the leadership, all the way down. All know what they're supposed to do. All have the same guidelines. God's mind, no independent spirit running here. Pastors will have to swallow their pride and be willing to get back in divine order. When a home group becomes too big, it will be divided and another shepherd put over it. It's not about growing your business. That's not what it's about. Danny brought up a good point. He said, even the corporations of the world run by this principle and they do it quite well. All right. Mega pastors, not my idea. But the Lord said, remember the scandals that have come out? Yeah, been many. Over the last couple of years about mega pastors stepping down because of sexual misconduct. Smaller groups are easier to oversee. All right, I'm going to look at a few scriptures in the Old Testament. 1 Samuel 17. This is when David, he comes to bring the stuff to his brothers. He sees the giant. And this is his brother's response. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men. Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? Those few sheep. That was my point. Those few sheep. All right. Go to 16 Samuel. Be it ever so humble. That's God's way. 1 Samuel 16. And the Lord said unto Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil and go. I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. And Samuel said, how can I go? If Saul hear it, he will kill me. And the Lord said, take a heifer with thee, and say, I come to sacrifice to the Lord. And call Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show thee what thou shalt do, and thou shalt anoint unto me him whom I name unto thee. And Samuel did that which the Lord spake, and came to Bethlehem, and the elders of the town trembled at his coming, and said, comest thou peaceably? And he said, peaceably, I am come to sacrifice unto the Lord. Sanctify yourselves, and come with me to the sacrifice. And he sanctified Jesse and his sons, and called them to the sacrifice. And it came to pass, when they were come, that he looked on Eliab, and said, surely the Lord's anointed before him is before him. And the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance, or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Then Jesse called Abinadab, and made him pass before Samuel, and he said, neither hath the Lord chosen this. Then Jesse made Shammah to pass by, and he said, neither hath the Lord chosen this. Again, Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel, and Samuel said unto Jesse, the Lord hath not chosen these. And Samuel said unto Jesse, are here all thy children? And he said, there remaineth yet the youngest. And he, behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for he will not sit down till he come hither. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and withal of a beautiful countenance and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. The Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. So my point in all this is to see, we're looking for the grand mega churches. They've got it all. They do it all. Yeah, yeah, yeah. God's not in that. Sorry. But he's in the few small sheep. Someone anointed over a few small sheep. I mean, it's great. There's a great reward when you take a few small sheep and you bring them up into the warriors. Is that what happened with David? He ended up being the giant killer, and then he ended up being king, reigning life as kings. That's how I see it. All right, Psalms 23. Jesus is the perfect example of a shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You know what happens to mega churches? They end up having a staff of pastors. They can't do it. They begin to designate. So that tells me this precept that I'm giving you today, that the Lord's given me. A lot of big churches do home groups. It's simply because it takes a lot of responsibility off the pastor. Or the one that's leading the thing. You know, I used to think, you know, why are they doing all this home? I never understood the home group concept. I know why Young E. Cho did it. But it's like everybody read their book, and so everybody did it here. That was my beef with that. But now I see it the way the Lord sees it. I understand it. C. Peter Wagner states that a flock over 200 is usually has an apostle as its leader as opposed to a pastor. We have a lot to learn about God's ways and what he wants us to do. Now you can understand why I've had you doing what you've been doing for so long. I can identify with the pastor end of it, for sure. I left out some of the more personal parts of the word the Lord gave me, but I believe you can see the picture that I'm painting here. Paul had to handle sexual misconduct. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Because the pastor didn't know what to do about it. All right. 5:1. It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. And ye be puffed up and have not rather mourned that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. For I verily, as absent in the body, but present in spirit, have judged already. See, he wasn't there, but they must have written him about the problem. As though I were present concerning him that hath done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you're gathered together, and my spirit, with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Your glory is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveth the whole lump? Purge out the old leaven, and that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. See, it just takes a little bit of that to destroy a whole church. Isn't it nice to think that if you were a pastor that you had a place you could go? Somebody that had an overseership to help you out? If you had a problem you couldn't figure out? To me, I just think it's just a wise thing to do. So Paul had to make a judgment here. In the Revelation, when Jesus was addressing the seven churches, he told John the weaknesses and strengths of the seven churches of Asia. John was the apostle over them. He told John to send to them what he said concerning them. Okay, let's read that. This is Revelation chapter 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. He sent, signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you, and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us, and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book and send unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus and Smyrna, unto Pergamos, unto Thyatira, unto Sardis, unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. So I'm not going to go into everything that he said to him, okay? Responsibility and accountability. We are a team. From the top to the bottom, we are a team. We're all moving with the Spirit, all doing what the Spirit says to do. We're not to be broken up into millions and thousands. Now, there might be that many groups, but we're all saying the same thing. All the same letters going out. All right? This is how I believe we keep the devil out. You do it God's way and the devil will flee. See what I'm saying? We submit ourselves therefore to God. We resist the devil and he flees from us.